Devotional Meditations on the Questions of Jesus. Ever heard someone say, "That's a good question"? As I read the questions of Jesus, I was constantly saying, "That's a good question, and it deserves an honest answer." I'm Don Harris. Join me now, and together we'll examine the questions of Jesus. Question 58. What shall the Lord do? Mark 12:9, Luke 20:15, Matthew 21:40 combined. When the Lord therefore of the vineyard cometh, what shall therefore he do unto those husbandmen? The role of judge is one that modern man seems to have difficulty attributing to the character of God, as if a judge needed to be cruel, unsympathetic, or hard to execute proper judgment. Few seem to understand how fairness and love, kindness and impartiality, honor and equity are necessary for judgment, and nowhere are these characteristics to be found completely but in God. Even fewer persons grasp how these characteristics, held in perfection, not only enable judgment, but also demand that judgment be done. In this parable, we're made familiar with the Lord of the vineyard. Although God, the Father of our Lord Jesus, cannot be equaled with all lords mentioned in all parables, we may safely assume that it is He of whom Jesus speaks in this one. Let's look at the character, the Lord of the vineyard.
What are you looking for? Where is your faith? Why did you doubt? These are some of the most probing questions ever asked, but even more significant is who it is that asked them, Jesus, the Son of God. If you want to embark on a journey of discovery that will impact your life, listen to the questions that Jesus asked. In his devotional meditations book entitled On the Questions of Jesus, Don Harris examines 150 questions that the Messiah posed. This book was the result of a personal devotional study that Don embarked upon a few years ago. After sharing several of his insights with others, he was encouraged to publish what the Lord was teaching him. And the conclusion was a 475-page devotional which examines the revealing questions Jesus asked and the answers given. Whatever the reason Jesus asked his questions, in all our conversational encounters with the Savior, it will be His wisdom that beams, His glory that shines, and His heart of love and compassion that is laid before us. Your answers to His questions will sometimes make you uncomfortable and lay your heart open to Him in return. But to whom, save Christ, could you really trust your candid answers and confessions? Who is able to open your life for examination in pure love and unfeigned truth as Jesus can? As you hear Jesus ask the probing questions to His adversaries, acquaintances, seekers, and intimate disciples, you'll be challenged to examine your own life in respect to Christ's inquiries. As you hear His questions and consider your own answers, you're thrust into His time and He into yours. By quiet contemplations, words on a page become a live conversation. If only you'll answer His questions honestly and with sincerity, you may well peer into the depths of your own soul and purpose, heretofore undiscovered and unknown. Ours is a quest to learn of our Messiah and His Father, Yehovah. Jesus asked questions of the people in the Bible stories to fulfill the will of God. And that was, as it remains with us, to bring the chosen ones closer to His Father. With this devotional, you can experience a daily exchange of thought with the Christ of the Bible, leading you closer to Him, revealing His ways, His thoughts, and eventually, if He wills it so, His Father. As He said in Matthew 11:27-28, "All things have been committed to Me by My Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal Him." If you would like, you could purchase Don Harris's book entitled On the Questions of Jesus for $30, which includes shipping and handling. Just call toll-free at 888-578-7867. That's 888-578-7867. Or write Questions of Jesus at AOL.com. It's an investment that will encourage you to listen to Jesus. Now let's rejoin Don with more from The Questions of Jesus.
Few seem to understand how fairness and love, kindness and impartiality, honor and equity are necessary for judgment, and nowhere are these characteristics to be found completely but in God. Even fewer persons grasp how these characteristics, held in perfection, not only enable judgment, but also demand that judgment be done. In this parable, we're made familiar with the Lord of the vineyard. Although God, the Father of our Lord Jesus, cannot be equaled with all lords mentioned in all parables, we may safely assume that it is He of whom Jesus speaks in this one. Let's look at the character, the Lord of the vineyard. Every provision was made for the subsistence and existence of the vineyard. Every protection was provided. A certain man planted a vineyard and set a hedge about it and digged a place for the wine vat, and he built a tower and let it out to husbandmen and went into a far country. All that the Lord of the vineyard asked was that he receive the gain of his investment. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen that they might receive the fruits of it. Not only was he refused, but his messenger was rejected and despised as well. And they caught him and beat him and sent him away empty. And again he sent unto them another servant, and at him they cast stones and wounded him in the head. And they sent him away shamefully handled. And again he sent another, and him they killed, and many others, beating some and killing some. Then said the Lord of the vineyard, "What shall I do? I'll send my beloved son. It may be that they will reverence him when they see him. Having yet therefore one son, his well-beloved, he sent him also last unto them. But when the husbandmen saw him, they reasoned among themselves, saying, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him, that the inheritance may be ours.' And so they did just that. They killed the Lord's son." Which brings us to the question, what shall the Lord do? What would you do? Jesus had no qualm in asking this question because he knew that those with whom he was talking had a clear and lucid understanding of lordship. Lords did what they wanted to do. They were not sassed or disobeyed. No one rebelled openly toward a lord. Lords ruled the economy and government, and there were few places to hide. The disciples' answer was swift and sure, and it was without equivocation or enigma. "He will miserably destroy those wicked men," they said, looking among themselves and nodding to one another as if to confirm that there was no other answer. The onlookers, as well as the disciples, well knew the wrath of a ruler scorned. And to just imagine the killing of a ruler's son sent cold chills through them as they thought of it. They didn't realize that they were hearing prophecy of the very actions they themselves would carry out not many days hence. Nor did they realize they were hearing this from the lips of the scorned son himself. The other side of this coin is equally rich. Notice that Jesus placed this judgment call into our hands for us to evaluate. When he asked, "What shall the Lord do?" In essence, he asked, "What do you think?" As if to tell us that judgment will not be a surprise, nor will it be a strange judgment that we're incapable of understanding. We know how we would react. And Jesus is saying that we should not expect God to feel any differently. We're conscious of our sins, and we're fully aware, if we search within, of exactly when we displease God in our everyday lives and what we are to do to rectify it. We'll not be surprised at judgment. We'll know beyond all doubt that we're being judged fairly, for we'll know it within ourselves, and we will have no excuses to offer. In today's vernacular, Jesus would have asked, "What do you expect the Lord to do?" Indicating that judgment will be an instinctive, intrinsic, or natural reaction on God's part. After we've rejected His Son, what would we expect his reaction to be? The parable Jesus shared caused anguish in the heart of anyone truly listening, for we can all see ourselves in this selfish and sinful act. Have we not all rejected God when he makes his demands upon us? No matter how fair and equal, no matter that we owe him every minute, every penny, and every breath, have we not all rebelled and fallen short? The Apostle Paul said, "And the times of this ignorance, before Christ came and died, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, in that he raised him from the dead." Jesus always seems to offer hope in our times of despair and when we find ourselves under the convicting power of the Father's Spirit. After portraying himself as the great cornerstone rejected by the builders, he said, "Whosoever shall fall upon that stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder." We all need to fall upon that stone. Hope can be found nowhere else but at the feet of the judge himself. With his vineyard commandeered, his ambassadors thrust out, and finally the Lord's own son spurned, scorned, and rejected, Jesus would ask, "What do you expect the Lord of the vineyard to do?" You must fall upon the rejected son and become broken. To become broken and contrite before God is the only hope of all mankind. It's your only hope as well. Have you rejected his guidance and his conviction? Have you lived your life as if only for yourself? If regard for him or our fellow man has not been a part of your life, when judgment comes, what shall the Lord do? Judgment is sure, and in comparison of eternity to a man's lifetime, swift. There's coming a day, as sure as sunrise, when everyone will stand before a fair and pure God that will make the division between clean and unclean, holy and unholy, just and unjust. Judgment is not a mystery to those who deal in truth. You know exactly what judgment will reveal. You know exactly where you stand. It's not a mystery to you if you're honest and open to what you've read in Scripture. Jesus told an easily understandable story, and then he asked a question. You know how you would react if your son were disrespected, beaten, and murdered by people employed and supported by you? You know that Jehovah is just and fair. You know he will by no means clear the guilty. You know he will not overlook or turn away or forget. When considering the day of his return, Jesus asks, "What will the Lord do?"
Ours is a quest to learn of our Messiah and his Father, Jehovah. Jesus asked questions of the people in the Bible stories to fulfill the will of God, and that was, as it remains with us, to bring the chosen ones closer to his Father. With this devotional, you can experience a daily exchange of thought with the Christ of the Bible. If you would like, you could purchase Don Harris's book entitled On the Questions of Jesus for $30, which includes shipping and handling. Just call toll-free at 888-578-7867. That's 888-578-7867. Or write Questions of Jesus at AOL.com.
Thank you for joining us. This is Don Harris, inviting you to join us again next time as we examine the next in the series from the book On the Questions of Jesus.